Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
This is incredible. I just like some of the people in here. I don't even know you guys, but you guys do incredible things, have incredible things God put in your heart to do and to be, and maybe some of you don't even know what that is, but it's coming. And God's put it in there. He's got an amazing life for each one of you, and maybe you'll jump out of planes. I don't know. That's incredible. I couldn't do that. I'd be up there just like, you know, this one. So, oh, let's just pray once more, and then we're going to get, Emma's going to pull up the scripture for today. It's James 1. We'll go right 1 to 8, and then we'll read it and talk about it. So let's just pray. Thank you. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. It's not religion. It's not going to church. It's not even reading the Bible or praying or worshiping. It's just you. You're so good. And you change lives. And you're here today and walking up and down these aisles and sitting with us and at the lake. And you're playing sports with us and you're just so good. And we honor you and love you. And what a privilege that you're in our life. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I'm a little bit emotional because what amazing worship. I've been a Christian since 6 years old. I've been around all kinds of worship and people trying to make it good and loud. And then you come to a little camp here in Michigan and these leaders up here just singing it so simple and so easy and just... those words are just powerful. Amen? What a wonderful name is. You guys are doing a great job. Thanks, Max. And give them a hand because they're doing a great job leading the worship. Okay, let's put that up, Emma. James 1, verse 1 to 8. I'll just read it. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, we're going to talk about that today, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. It shall be given to him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave on the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. So today, can I just share you my story a little bit? Like I told you, I got saved at 6. That's when I first heard about this wonderful name of Jesus. He came into my life and saved me and changed me. But I was an athlete and a hockey player, but honestly, I don't know if it has anything to do with that. We're born and wired to perform. Like, that's just how we are, right? So, like, you guys, you know, if you have a job, if you don't go do your work, you don't get paid, right? My son Charlie just started working at the golf course this summer and up at 6 in the morning and going, and I'm like, if you don't show up on time, you don't get paid, and if you miss it a couple times, you don't have a job. Like, you guys realize that, right? And you guys that are athletes, Boaz, my son's back here, he plays professional hockey. If he doesn't work out a lot and eat right and do these things and get himself in shape, and if he doesn't do that stuff, you won't be a player for very long. So all we know is to do and get a result, right? And so when I was 10 years old, I just started doing a Christian. And it's like everything I heard until I was about 30 years old is just what a Christian does. Are you with me today? That's all I heard. What does a Christian do? Well, he reads his Bible. You got your Bibles today? That's a good thing, right? I like that. I'm so impressed walking through this place today and seeing you guys last night and this morning with your Bibles and doing this great. But I was just read your Bible, pray, witness with others, worship the Lord, Be a good person. Don't sin. Like all these things, right? So when I went to church and went to youth group, I remember being your age. That's what I heard going away. What are you supposed to be doing? Right? Give me something practical. That's what I want to know. What is it to be a Christian? Because I want to be one. I am one. And then at 30 years old, a friend of mine ended up becoming one of my best friends. He sold motorcycles for a living, and I found myself driving into his shop, and he started to tell me what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus, and his precious blood he shed on the cross for you is the answer. And I said, I already know that. And he goes, no, you don't. I go, yes, I do. He says, no, you don't. And I would come into his office and tell him all the things I was doing to be a good Christian. And he wasn't too impressed. I'd be like, hey, I just witnessed with this guy on the street. And, oh, I worshiped the God last night. And it was so amazing. And oh, I read the Bible this morning. I got in and did my chat, my devotional. And he'd just sit there and kind of go. And anybody else I told, they were like, oh, wow, you're a great Christian. And he just kind of looked at me like, Mark, you need to know about the cross. And you need to know about the blood. And I go, I know about it. And he said, no, you don't. And he was right. I'd been a Christian for almost 30 years, and it just was all about doing. Anybody in here, can you listen? Can you hear me? Does anybody hear this stuff? Because I know all my youth groups, everywhere I went, it was always the main point was what you should be doing. And is it ever just what Christ did at the cross? Is it ever just that? I feel the presence of God right now. Is it ever just that? It's what somebody did for me, not what I'm doing for him. Is it ever just that? And this started to make me free. And I want to put a video up. It's one of my favorite videos I've ever heard. Max, we played it here before. He says, that's my favorite video. This guy puts it so simple. It's called The Man in the Middle Cross. And when I listen to it, it just makes me want to cry every time because you need to hear this today. I need to hear this today. And you know what? When you come tonight, you'll need to hear it again. And when you come back tomorrow, you need to hear it again because you just want to get doing. Am I right? And let's play this video. This is incredible.
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor in. So we just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day and every day, then I will find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can then give only lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depends upon me. And as soon as you go there, it will lead you either to abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. And it is only the cross of Christ that deals both with the dreadful depths of despair and the pretentious arrogance of the pride of man that says, you know, I can figure this out and I'm doing wonderfully well. No, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That's why Luther says most of your Christian life is outside of you. In this sense, that we know that we're not saved by good works. We're not saved as a result of our professions, but we're saved as a result of what Christ has achieved.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love that. How many of you guys have heard that video before or seen it? Oh, we got a few. You can just get it on YouTube. It's called The Man on the Middle of the Cross. And I think you could hear that every day, all day. Anybody hear me today? Like when you hear that, you go, oh, I forgot that's what it's about. That's me. Like, I'm like, oh, I forgot. It's not about me. It's about him. That's what changes your life. Does that make sense? That's what changes your life. Not what you did. Not what you do. What he did. I told you I played professional hockey for 12 years. I'll tell you a little bit about my life. I grew up in Calgary, Canada, and played junior hockey up there. And then I thought I was finished because I never got drafted. And then I remember I was only like 18, 19 years old, and my dreams got crushed because I didn't get drafted. Anybody, your dreams ever get crushed? You ever get hurt? I remember sitting there out on my bed crying, and my mom came and said, you're going to be all right. And I said, my hockey's over. It's what everything I've wanted to do. Maybe someone in here has had a dream crushed, and you just feel like quitting, you know? And it was about a month later, I got a phone call, and it was a tryout with the Philadelphia Flyers of the National Hockey League, and they gave me a tryout, and I went there and got a contract, and 12 years later, I had playing professional hockey. I played in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I played in Peoria, Illinois. I played for the... I like it. And played for the Canadian national team 1 year. We traveled all over the world to Italy and Austria and Germany and Norway, and it was what a cool experience. And then I went to Germany and played... 7 years over there, and so had a great time playing hockey and traveling the world. But when I was young, I want to go back to this. What that man said, he said that we could probably just go home from camp, because you got it. That's it up there, what he said. And it takes so long. Like this verse in James says, if you're a Christian today, you're going through a process of faith. He's trying to purify this specific thing in your life. And, you know, the old, like a goldsmith, when they heat up the gold, they're trying to get the impurities out of it. It gets heated just the right temperature, because if you heat it up too much, it doesn't work. But you heat up the temperature just enough so that the impurities come to the top, and then they skim it off so you get pure gold. That's what James is talking about. Your faith is going through a process. It's been going through a process since the day you started. Something's happening to purify that faith. But faith, listen today, it's got to have an object. And I love what the man said there. It's the cross. It's what Christ did at the cross. It's what he did and not you. So you're going through a process to try to kind of bring the impurities of self, I can do this thing, to the top, and he can skim it off and continue to do that. Does that make sense? So I was a hockey player. Now, we got soccer players here and some athletes, but we have a hockey goal that you score on in hockey. It's, I don't know, it's like 6 feet wide and maybe 4 feet high, and the goalie stands in there. And there's about five spots you can score on a goalie. In soccer, it's probably similar. You got like two top corners, one here and one here. You got two bottom corners, and a goalie stands like this, and there's called a five hole. Everybody say five hole. Okay, you can score between the legs. So my mentality was, that's how you score in hockey. It'd be the same as soccer. You have to find the open spots. And so I remember when I started my church, I brought a hockey net up, and I go, this is how you score in hockey, these five spots. I said, well, that's how you do it with God. So I brought this net in, I brought a stick and a ball, and I start shooting. And I go, this is how you score with God. This is how you impress him. This is how you live your life. Top shelf. Over here. Read your Bible. And don't stop. And do it all the time. Over here. The next top corner. Read. Pray. You got to pray. You got to pray a lot. Keep praying. You got to have a prayer life. Okay. Down here, you got to witness with people. You got to share your faith. Over here, you got to overcome sin and be a good person. And you see where I'm going? And the people... I remember my best friend was there. He goes, I love that. Oh, yeah, I love that. The problem is that it was all based on me. Am I reading? What happens when you stop reading? What happens when you're not really concentrating? You see what I'm saying? Over here, it's praying. My prayer life was a disaster. Oh, I was feeling great when I did it, but when I didn't do it, you see where I'm going? What about when you didn't even share Jesus with anybody? What happens when you didn't worship or raise your hands or feel it? Or do you see where it's going? But all I ever knew in church was that's all they told me to do. Everybody say do. That's all I ever heard. So the more I did it, then I felt like I was a Christian. But when I didn't do it, which was a lot, and I failed a lot, which you guys do too, it's called humanity. But don't you love this little talk? He said, most of Christianity is outside of yourself. Can we just think, use your brains today. You guys got amazing brains. Christianity is more outside yourself than what you do. It's what someone did for me. When Jesus came to the cross 2,000 years ago, he had to do it all for you, not just some of it for you. Everybody say all. Do you see the point I'm going? I'm going to talk about this all week because it changed my life when I was 30 years old from doing to done. I finally heard somebody tell me the person that you first got to know when you were 6 years old and his work on the cross has been with you the whole time, trying to remind you over and over and over, throw the hockey net away. I mean, all those things are good to do, but none of this relationship with God's based on you doing it. He already did it for you. 100% he did it for you. Does that kind of make sense? I wish when I was your age that somebody would have taught the cross to me as a Christian. Because I was one of these guys sitting right here. I would have been the guy that was on fire. I loved Jesus. But I had nothing, no clue, not a sniff of the cross of Christ as a Christian. I just knew what my mom told me when I was 6 years old. And finally, my friend... It was news and information that would change my life. It's what Christ did for you. Rest in it. Your faith is being tried right now to rest in the work of another instead of you. And I started to get free. Like, are you kidding me? I've been carrying backpacks around with me, trying to be so good, trying not to fail as a Christian, trying to read, trying to... And it was killing me. And so today, I won't be much longer, but the object of your faith is so important. What is it today? James is trying to tell you that there's a trial, there's a test you're going through, every one of us today. You've been going through it, you're in it right now, and you'll go through it tomorrow. And what's it doing? It's trying to purify simple faith in what another person did for you. Simple faith, we call it, in the finished work of Christ, so that you can stand to say, it's not what I did, but what he did. You hearing me today? This stuff will change your life. Then it became, oh, what a wonderful name it is. Does that make sense to you guys? Because I wish when I was your age, someone would have taught me the cross. It was just the doing part. And I burned out. And you are too. Maybe you're burnt out today. It will always happen. Because you just try to do it on your own. It's kind of like this story, and I'll kind of end with this. I remember reading this story years ago about a man who came over from Europe to come to America for a better life. And he made some money and bought this ticket to come on one of those cruise ships, or ships, I guess they were back then, and it sometimes takes 2 weeks to get over here. And he bought this ticket, and he put all of some food in his bag, like some meat and cheese. And I think it was a 2 week trip. Maybe you've heard this story. And so he's down in his room there, and he's saving a little bit of meat and a little bit of cheese every day because he's got 2 weeks to get over to America. But it's starting to mold and it's starting to rot. And he doesn't want to starve to death. He's coming to America for a new life. And so he's rationing, and he's just living down in the bottom of the ship. And finally, one day, a guy came down there and said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just eating my meat and cheese here. I got to make it. We got another week or so to go. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, the restaurant is up there. It's part of your ticket. You get 3 meals a day up there. It's part of your ticket. What are you doing? The guy says, I don't know. I thought I didn't know the meal was included. It is. You can throw that in the garbage and go upstairs and eat with everyone else for the rest of the trip. And I felt like the message of the cross for me as a Christian, and I remember as your age, I wish somebody would have told me this. You're pining away trying to be a Christian. And then it just takes one person to come by and say, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon the finished work of the cross. You can take this stuff you think it's what you're doing. And you're putting effort into it. Like, does that make sense? Throw it away. It's the effort of Christ. It's the work he did. Go up and eat. Enjoy. He loves you. I wish I could have learned that as a young teenager, as a young athlete. I always thought that, you know, especially in this idea of like sinning, right? We don't want to talk about it, but we do. And we're full of it. Like it just happens. But I thought that I was in this process of continuing to come through these trials and not sin. And I was so wrong. You'll never beat sin. You weren't asked to beat sin. You weren't asked to overcome it. He did. That's why the song gets beautiful. What a wonderful name it is. He overcame it for you. I'd been trying so hard. And I think there's many in here today trying to do it right. Trying so hard to overcome things. Trying to come through and be a better person. Do you know that heaven's not really full of good people? There's all kinds of bad people up there. Hell's not really full of bad people. There's good people there. It's got nothing to do with how good or bad you are. It's got to do with the object of your faith. And we're going to talk about it this week. It'll change you as a Christian forever. Somebody who's never even accepted it, it'll change your life forever. If you'll turn your eyes upon the finished work of Christ, it's only those people that are in heaven, good and bad and ugly and skinny and fat and everything in between. It's just the ones that came by faith and continue by this faith. So today, I hope maybe when you have your devos or tonight even, or you talk, what's he talking about? Because I got faith. I know, but God's trying to narrow you down to this specific faith. Now it made sense. The Bible started making sense to me. Ah, that's what it's about. He just loves you, and he's trying to purify your faith so you can once again, you know, I like this position right here. Because you constantly get up and try to do it, and he says, why don't you turn your eyes upon the finished work of Christ and rest? You see the difference? A resting position rather than you doing it. And this is Christianity. It's resting in the work of another. And that was life-changing to me. As a 30-year-old man who thought I knew Christianity, I was doing it all myself. And you burn out and you fail. But resting is the greatest news I ever heard. So today, James says there's a trial. There's a test going on in each one of you today. It's not what you think it is. It's not the ones who come through stronger and better past the test. No, it's the ones who come through faithful, that they've learned through what they're going through, that I've got this simple little mustard seed of faith. Where is it placed? Oh, he won it all for me. He did it all for me. He and not me. What words? You can put that in your notes this morning. He and not me. I hope you learn that this week because it changes your life. He and not me. And today, I want to just pray and we'll end down here. I hope you have a great day today. And enjoy everything that's here. And I want to pray. Lord, thank you for every single person that's here, adults and the campers and the counselors that are so amazing. I watch them with the energy and the Spirit of God moving through them and all the leaders. I pray your Spirit would move and touch us in these chapels over and over, out on the lake and in everything we do, that we'd come away from this week encouraged in what you did for me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.